Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you, Lord. We know that your word is true. We can be fed on it, Lord, no matter where we're at, no matter when we gather, and whether we're small in number or large in number, Lord, we know, we absolutely know that your word is true and you will feed our souls. And so today, Lord, as we go forward, we ask for your blessing. Be with those who might still be traveling, Lord, and those who are unable or perhaps unwilling to be here. And we pray all of this in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, when I was thinking about what to do for Father's Day this year, very often I do a message. In fact, for many years, I've done a message that was all about honoring our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father. And I was looking through old notes, and I went back to 2006, which is as far back as my notes go. I don't have any notes beyond it because I had computer crashes and I lost everything. But I found this outline. It wasn't the sermon. It was just an outline of the sermon that I had written in 2006 on Father's Day. And I had called it Changing Diapers on Father's Day. And I started to look through those notes and I said, you know what? That'd be great. That'd be a great message because I'm in the series of messages that came out of notes from 2006. I was at a different church at that time, obviously. And I started to think, you know what? This would be a really good message. But I don't start with a text. There's no beginning text where I say, okay, everybody open your Bibles to page number, da, da, da. It's just a flow of things that Jesus taught about our Heavenly Father and about honoring our Father. In fact, He reminded His followers to honor our Father. And it implies both our earthly Father and our Heavenly Father. Throughout the messages here in this series, I've reminded you that our Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will is an absolute. It's not a you might or maybe or you could or you should. He said, you will. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. And then the converse is also true because John makes it clear. He said, now, by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Those who say, I know Him and do not keep His commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. Now, there's a lot of people today who don't want to hear that, either inside or outside of the church. They don't want to hear about keeping commandments. And what they don't realize is that the Spirit of God who dwells within you will compel you, will move you, will teach you, will show you, will continue to use you in keeping the commandments of Christ. But in order for you to keep something, you have to know it, right? And I've often been criticized for teaching more of Jesus' commandments than other things in the Scripture, or man-made commandments especially. You will not hear me teach, well, so-and-so said 150 years ago, and we keep that tradition to this day. No, 500 years ago, Mr. So-and-so taught that. No, 2,000 years or so ago, Jesus taught. Okay, what did He teach? Let's see. He taught everything that God wanted Him to teach. Now, we don't have all the record of what He taught, or we'd never get out of it. We would never get out of it, the word that Jesus taught. Okay, the one that we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. We would not get out of that at all. Because what better way to learn than from the Master Himself, right? Wouldn't you just love to sit at His feet and learn what He had to say about our Heavenly Father? Well, the best that I can do, folks, is present a few scriptures that He, it's recorded, said. Things that He taught. And so I'm hoping that today that'll help you to realize, first of all, God has always instructed His people to obey Him. Never has He said, well, you can obey me except. There's no caveat. There's no way out. He doesn't say, well, you can keep me unless. No, you don't keep Him or keep His commandments or obey Him only when it suits you or if circumstances are in a certain place. He says, you will, and that's an absolute. It's not a you might, maybe, or should. And I'll keep repeating that because we have to understand that as we draw nearer to His return, He's coming for a spotless bride. Some call that holiness. God calls it His people. And we're not to compromise when it comes to obeying His Word. Not keeping His commandments has become common practice inside and outside of what's become known as the Christian church. We're pushing it. We're pushing the boundaries anymore. You know, God shows mercy to those who love Him and keep His commandments. That's what His Word says. And His mercy endures forever. So it's not like, okay, well, I slipped up. It's too late for me. I can't come back. No. He'll bring you back. But you might get chastised in the meantime. Things might not go the way you expect. They might not go the way you want them to go. Things might happen to you that you would never want to have happen. When you wander away from God, you end up in trouble. And I'm talking from experience. I'm not yelling at people. I'm not telling, well, you're doing wrong, so God's going to beat you. He's going to chastise you. I'm telling you, I know from experience. I've been chastised by the hand of the Lord. I know what that's like because I ran from Him. I'm not going to run anymore. I'm going to stand in the pulpit. I'm going to stand on the street corner. It doesn't matter where God uses me. The other night I was at an evangelistic event. I was asked to sing a song. The Lord gave me a scripture. I read the scripture, and the next thing you know, I was done preaching. I had preached. I didn't intend to. I didn't go there to preach, but God took me and used me to do that. We talked about the Holy Spirit. He said, everybody's got to catch on fire. And if we're going to be worshiping Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, then we need to be drawing others into worship also. We've got to get rid of that dirt in our lives. And that's where the changing diapers on Father's Day comes from. You know, it's easy for us to think that we do obey Him. We can say we obey Him. We can believe we obey Him. But how does our life line up with the Word of God? That's when we know whether or not we're really obeying Him. Today we're going to see some ways that we say no to Jesus, how we refuse to do what He said. But we're also going to see, and this is more importantly, I believe, more important that we see ways to say yes to Him. And each of these messages, I've come to realize that we need to focus on that. Okay, we don't need to focus on saying no. We don't want to say no, but we have to know where we're saying no. We need to comprehend when we're saying no and how we're saying no. We have to know what He said in order to keep it. So we look at what He said. And it's important that we see ways to say yes. And as I was going through my notes, I thought, well, diapers? What? You know, why would the message be about diapers? You know, well, on Father's Day, there are fathers that have to change diapers. And those who change diapers know it's not always easy. Okay, sometimes it's some work. And sometimes the one whose diaper is being changed resists. Right? Anybody who's changed diapers knows that. Yeah, they kick their feet, they squirm. Sometimes they continue to go. Little boys especially. But as I was saying to Jonah, when our oldest son and our oldest daughter were born, we didn't want to spend money on disposable diapers. No way. For less impact on the environment than you can for disposable diapers. We use those cloth diapers. And without getting too graphic, as I started to say, it's not always easy to clean a diaper. You have to physically remove the soil, the waste. You know, it has to be taken out. Before you throw it in a washing machine, sometimes you've got to do physical removal. And the babies couldn't do that, right? The babies couldn't do that. The baby couldn't change their own diaper. They couldn't remove the waste. They needed us to do that. They needed us to remove that waste from their life, the soil from their life. And this is the same with all of us. We can't remove the soil from our souls. We can't remove the dirt that's accumulated in our soul. Only God can do that, and He does it through Christ. And that's when I started to see, okay, I get it now. I get where I was at with that whole idea of the changing diapers on Father's Day. You know, I've changed a lot of diapers in my life. Now, you ask my wife, she'd probably say he didn't like it. Well, that's true. I didn't. But I did it because it needed to be done. And, you know, I don't know that God gets any pleasure out of cleaning our souls getting the soil out of our souls. I don't know that he gets any pleasure out of that. In fact, I know that his word says he requires and prefers us to give ourselves to him, to sacrifice rather than, he wants obedience rather than sacrifice, excuse me. He doesn't want us to sacrifice animals. He wants us to obey him so that we don't have to. He doesn't want that sacrifice to have to be made. And yet he made that ultimate sacrifice by sending his only begotten Son into the world that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God's given us the means to remove the filth from our lives. And we don't like to hear about that. We don't like to, oh yeah, I was a filthy sinner. Well, I was. And there are times when I miss the mark, folks. There are times when I slip off the path. And God says, okay, let me clean you up, son. I confess. I confess my sin. I confess before the congregation and I always confess to God. God, I'm sorry. I messed up here. I need you to clean me up. I am imperfect, and yet He is perfect. He teaches us through His Word how to change the way that we live. Instead of living for ourselves, we live for Him. And that's part of the soil that has to go. The soil of the world, the filth of the world, the dirt of the world that clogs up our soul. It restricts our ability to hear from Him. It keeps us from being able to receive the message from His Spirit. God gives us that means, and it's all written in His instruction book. Right here. His instruction book. It has all the means that are necessary for us to get the soil out of our lives, to get those dirty diapers gone. Because He wants us to come to Him. He loved us so much that He made the way for us to be clean. All we need is faith that produces love for God and each other. When Jesus was questioned about what's the greatest commandment, He said, well, this and that, and this and that. Love God. He didn't say you got to wear a dress for the ladies. He didn't say you got to keep this long list of rules. He said, love God. And what that comes from is His Spirit dwelling within us who moves us to love God. You will keep His commandments, He said. You won't think about it. Well, I'm thinking about keeping His commandments. I'm almost there. No. When you love Him, you keep His commandments. We learn in His Word that we are able to love one another. And we're able to love our enemies. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. Love your enemies. Do good to those who harm you. Well, that's hard for us. And yet God teaches us through His Word how to change everything so that we live for Him instead of for ourselves. We learn in His Word to seek His face in matters of worship. We learn in His Word to seek His Word in matters of praise. We give praise to Him for the things that He does. We learn in His Word how to seek Him in prayer. We learn in His Word how to serve Him, and not only Him, but others. Because He tells us we are all servants, if in fact we're His. Yeshua reminded His followers to honor father and mother. It was the first command with the promise, He said. And that promise is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That's a promise. Honor your father and mother. Honor your dad and your mom. It'll go well for you. That's something we all want, right? We want it to go well for us. The word father's used 369 times in the King James Version of the Bible. And many of those references are about our Heavenly Father. 8 times we're commanded to honor our father and mother. 8 times. Do you think it's important? Do you think it's important? If we are instructed, if it's found written 8 times, do you think it's important? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's written in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. This is what Jesus was quoting. This is what he was telling his disciples. It's going to be good for you if you take care of your mom and dad. There were those at the time when Jesus was preaching and teaching who wouldn't take care of their parents. They said, oh, no, no, what I could give to my parents, I've got to give that to the synagogue. I've got to give that to somebody else. I can't take care of my folks. There's a passage of Scripture that says if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. And that's part of honoring our parents. It's taking care of them whenever they can't take care of themselves. And anybody who would steal or rob from a parent has got to be set straight. Anybody who would disrespect widows, orphans, needs to be set straight. It's not God-honoring. It's not God-honoring. We learn from God's Word that we are to honor God by honoring our parents. And you know, there are situations in our lives now. There are step-parents, right? There are adoptive parents. There are parents who did not physically participate in the act of creation. They're still parents. And to do anything less than honor them is dishonoring Almighty God. And there's no way around that. There's no way to say, well, you know, he wasn't really my dad. He was just with my mom for 30 years. Right? And there's so many today that want to disrespect the fact that moms and dads are coming more than just a biological mom and a dad. We have to remember we're to honor our dads. And sometimes we honor our dads by taking care of our mothers. And sometimes those mothers aren't our biological mothers. And that's a fact. There's no way around that. But most definitely we want to take care of those biological parents that God has given us. That wasn't in my notes, folks. We all have dads. My dad was alive and well when I started the notes for this back in 2006. He was healthy. He was happy to see that I was pursuing my career. He was glad that I was no longer that one that was creating those soiled diapers for him. Okay? And I'm talking figuratively now, okay? As an adult, I still caused problems for my parents. Made a lot of dirty diapers for my dad. He's passed away now. And I miss him. And you know what's really interesting? As I was preparing the message, I got to thinking. You know, when my dad was on the earth, I didn't fully comprehend like the bigger picture. He was on the earth longer than me. He knew me because he knew himself. He knew. And I got to thinking, well, you know, I've got 7 children and I know them because I know me. I know me. I know this despicable sinner that I once was. I know. And I know what I do and what I've done. And I know that my children, maybe they don't fully comprehend that I've been on the planet longer than them and that I get it. I see past the surface. I see more to the root of things. And I think they appreciate that. I think they appreciate that I see past things. Sometimes they try to deny it, you know. Oh, it's not what you think, Dad. Oh, yeah, it probably is. I see through it. Just like my dad could see through my mess. And a lot of times my dad had to clean things up for me. Yeah, he knew more than I did. And I messed things up. And he knew it. He knew I messed up. And he tried to help me get through those mess-ups so that maybe I'd get to a place where I'm no longer messing. Where I didn't make the mess anymore. And isn't that what we do with our children? I mean, okay, we change diapers and we get to that place where we say, you know, sooner or later, you're going to have to learn not to use these. Yeah, you got to get to the place where you know what to do. We call it potty training, right? Well, God potty trains his kids too. He gets us to the place where he doesn't have to clean up after us so much. Gets us to the place where we can rely on him to do what He does best, love us and help us to love others. All of us have our Heavenly Father. He's existed long before He ever created us. Long before. And don't you think for a moment that He knows you? Do you think somehow that you're going to get away with some crap and He ain't going to know about it? He knows everything. He knows us inside and out. He knows every deep, dark recess of our heart. He knows what we're thinking before we think it. Still, we become disobedient children. We soil our souls with the things of this world. He knows what motivates us. Why would we think He doesn't see what's in our heart? He knows what we want. He knows what we don't want. We could tell other people, oh, no, that's not what I want. Oh, no. God knows the truth. And what's interesting is the nearer you get to Him, the more you know. As you interact with people, you can see through to the deeper motives. You can see through to those darknesses that are residing in their heart. You can help them to clean those up. You can change those dirty diapers. Bring them into the Word of God. Here's what the Word of God says. Are we going to live by His Word? Are we going to love Him and love others completely as He says to love us? And love Him and love them? He knows the very core of our heart. And He knows whether we honor Him or not. He knows if we honor Him or not. And how do we honor Him? By obeying His commandments. The one that we call Jesus taught His followers that we're to honor both our earthly dad and our heavenly dad. I've said that, and I'll say it again. He taught His followers to let our light shine so that others would what? Glorify our Father in heaven. And any time that darkness resides in our lives, we're saying no to Jesus. Because we're not letting our light shine. We're not allowing God to shine through us. And we're saying no! Like those obstinate children whose diapers have to be changed. Because He's not being glorified. He told His followers to love our enemies, bless those who curse us. And when we don't, we're saying no to Jesus. But why? Why did He say this? Why did He say that we should do good to those who hate us and pray for those who use us? So that we may be children of our Father in heaven. That's what He said. That's not my saying. That's His saying. He instructed His followers to be perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect. And they're perfect in the root sense. It means to have a high degree of integrity and virtue. To be virtuous. To be men and women of integrity. When we say yes, we mean yes, and we do what we say. When we say no, we do what we say not to do. If we enter into a covenant, let's just say, for example, the covenant of marriage, whether it's with a license or not, we're saying yes to God. And we honor that covenant when we maintain that relationship, excluding all others, as it's written. We have husbands and wives in this congregation, people who love one another and have for many years. And we're called upon to honor God by letting our light shine. And one of the ways that we let our light shine is as we raise our families, we show them the light. We teach them to the best of our ability. And they either go forward within that light or they go outside of that light. And some go outside of that light and we can't help it. We can't change it. We can't do anything about it. And it grieves our hearts, whether we're a father or we're a mother. Or a stepdad. We're stepmom. Sometimes moms have to be dads. We were talking about earlier. Ethel Hogan used to call me every Mother's Day and every Father's Day. Pastor, remember when you're preaching. There are dads that have to be mothers. And then she'd call me on Father's Day. Pastor, remember when you're preaching. There are mothers that have to be dads. She'd remind me of that. And I thought, you know, that's a good thing to hold on to. Because my mind doesn't always think of that, because I had my mom and I had my dad all of my life until they passed. And I don't think of those situations where circumstances have changed. Now, some of my children have had to see their mother and I not together because she chose to leave. It was a terrible time. It was hard on them. And they've had to interact with other people as a dad figure. And I think about that for all those children that are suffering because their parents aren't together. And I say, we need to work with those people. We need to honor God by helping them too. Jesus instructed His followers not to concern themselves with food and clothes because our Heavenly Father would feed and clothe us. And anytime we get nervous or worried about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Anytime we get worked up about our material things, let's take it to a different level. Anything material. We're driving an 11-year-old car and it rattles and it shakes and the wheels don't always stay straight. You know, there's things that need to be done to it. Going down the road yesterday and I said, you know, Chris, I wouldn't mind if we had a vehicle that was well built. Doesn't have to be brand new, but I wouldn't mind having something that didn't shake, rattle, and roll down the road. But as the Lord leads, we honor God by not worrying about those things. And when we do worry about them, we're saying no to Jesus. Because He taught us not to worry about them. Don't worry about your food and your clothes. Don't worry about where you're going to live, what kind of car you're going to ride in. He said, our Father in heaven will give us good things if we ask Him. And so we need to ask, and that's a part of prayer. And He taught us to pray to our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom. Thy will be done, not my will. We say no to Jesus when we look at things from our perspective. My kingdom come, my will be done. He said, our Heavenly Father will give us good things if we ask Him. And He said, He'll take care of us if we seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, and our Heavenly Father will take care of us. Sometimes we get off track. We start looking at our own kingdom. We start looking at our own will, our own way. We start doing things the way we think is best. We're not seeking after His righteousness first. And we're saying no to Jesus when we do that. That one we call Jesus commanded His followers to take care of the poor without bragging. And so often people say, oh yeah, I give to the poor. I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. And you hear them brag and brag and brag about all that they do for people. Jesus said, you're not going to get a reward for that. You've got your reward. When we brag about giving, we're saying no to Jesus. Because He said, don't brag about it. And He said, our Heavenly Father will not reward us. He taught His people how to pray. He commanded His people to pray to the Father privately, not just publicly. Go into your closet, He said. Pray to the Father who hears in secret. And the Father who hears in secret will reward you openly. People will see the blessing that God pours out upon you. Because He's your Heavenly Father. And He wants good things for you. He said, how many of you would, when your child asked for a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? Right, and your Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him. And if you're not sure that you have the Holy Spirit, ask Him. Ask Him to pour out His Spirit upon you. Ask Him to use you. Surrender your life to Him. Give it over 100%. There's no better place to be. Because anything less, saying no to Jesus. He said, be filled with the Spirit. He commanded His followers not to use vain repetitions when praying. I remember the tradition that we grew up in. They would say, okay, say three of these and three of those and your sins will be forgiven. But Jesus said, don't vainly repeat prayers. He didn't say, this is how you pray and do it 10 times a day, 10 times in a row. He didn't say, stand up in front of the crowd and pray, 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 pray for everybody to see on the street corners. Pray privately. And it doesn't mean that we don't pray publicly, because we do. But you got to spend some time in prayer alone with your Heavenly Father. It honors Him. Because you maintain communication with Him. He said, not everybody who proclaims God and Christ will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father. That's what He said. I'm just giving you what He said. Call me the mailman. I'm delivering the mail. Okay? If we do the will of the Father in heaven, He said, we're sisters and brothers to Christ. What's that mean if we don't? We're saying no to Jesus. No, I don't want to be your brother. No, I don't want to be your sister. I don't want to do God's will. No, I want to do my will. This is my life. And how many people so boldly living their lives as if they actually are their own, even inside the church? They lose sight of it. He cautioned us against honoring our Father with our lips only. That's found in Matthew chapter 15. Don't honor your Father with your lips only. Live your life for Him. Give Him all, not just a little piece, one day a week, or 1 hour a week for some people. And if you go over that hour, buddy, I'll tell you, we're looking at the clock. You better step it up, preacher. You know, I have less notes today than I've had in a very long time. I expect that the message will not be as long. But as the Lord leads, I'm not going to say, oh no, sorry God, I can't do that. We're going to go over by 5 minutes. No. He told the religious folk of that time that they worship our Father in vain by teaching human commandments. That's worshiping God in vain. And there's so many in these churches today that follow human teachings, human commandments. Everything's got to stay just the same. Don't change anything. I was warned when I came here, you change anything, we're going to change your address. I started serving in this building. Human commandments were important. Kind of got away from that, haven't we? We're more of a family now. We go to the Word of God for our answers. We don't go to some religious leader that lived 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 years ago. We go to God and His Word. Okay, this is how we're going to live our lives. We're going to follow His Word. We're going to follow His will. We're going to follow His way. We're not going to do it our way. This isn't our building. It's His. And we're going to serve Him by worshiping Him in it. A world of difference. World of difference. Don't use vain repetitions. Don't do your own will. Don't teach human commandments. Don't reject His truth by teaching and keeping human traditions. Follow His traditions, His will, His way. He commanded, be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. I've already alluded to that. His mercy endures forever. And when we're not merciful to others, when we don't have mercy on other people, especially those who are less able to take care of themselves than we are, if we're not merciful, God will remove His mercy from us. And that's for certain. We must be merciful because to be anything but merciful to others is saying no to Jesus. No, I don't need to be merciful. I'm going to do it my way. I want what's mine. You know, there's a place where Jesus taught about a man who was very rich. And he was building bigger barns to put all of his riches in. You might say he was a six-figure or eight-figure man. And he built these bigger barns and he put all of his stuff in there. And God said, you fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. And then what will happen to your stuff? Somebody else will eat your grapes from your vineyard. Somebody else will eat the crops from your field. Somebody else will live in your house. Somebody else will get what you thought was yours. And we get so caught up in our own will and our own way and doing things for us that we forget that God says to give to His work. We forget. Even when we make a covenant to do it. It was a covenant for a church membership. And we covenanted together to give as God had prospered us. But people didn't. They refused. And what happened? God removed them. I'm not saying this to beat anybody up. But if we're going to honor our Father, we need to honor what comes out of these lips. I surrender to you, Father. I'm going to live for you, Father. I'm going to do your will, Father. I want to put my will aside, Father. I'm not worried about amassing a wealth in this world. I want to serve God. There's so many who say they want to serve God, but they give them lip service only. They're not really serving God. They're serving themselves, and they're using God as a means to get what they want, their ends. You see that in this prosperity church movement. Name it and claim it. Lab it and grab it. Say it and get it. Do it wrong. God will bless His people. There's no doubt about that. He will bless each and every one of you. He says so in His Word over and over and over. He will bless you. Honor Him. Don't honor yourself. Honor Him. Don't honor others. Don't lift up men before God. Yeshua instructed His followers to teach all people, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And He taught them to observe all things that He commanded. And He's with us to the end of the world. That's at the very end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. You can read it for yourself if you like. Teach them to observe all things that He commanded. If you love Him, might keep His commandments, right? You could keep His commandments. You should keep His commandments. No, you will. That's what He taught. You will. If we confess Him before men, He said, He will confess us before the Father in heaven. We confess Him, He confesses us. But, wait. If we deny Him, He will deny us to the Father. That's what He said. It's not my words. That's His. And how do we deny Him? We deny Him in our actions. We deny Him in our words. We deny Him by not confessing Him. We deny Him by not living for Him. We deny Him by saying no to Jesus, like obstinate children. No, I don't want to do what you say. No, I'm not going to follow your commandments. No, I'm going to do it my way. No, I'm serving my will. That's how we say no to Jesus. And that's how we do not honor our Father in heaven. Yeshua said, whoever's ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of them when He comes in His glory. And all of this is written in His words, folks. This is all in His words, not mine. He told us, do not fear, because it's our Father in heaven's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. See, we get so afraid. What are people going to think? We covered that in the message, do not fear. Jesus said, do not fear those who can kill the body. Fear Him who can, after killing the body, throw both the body and the soul into hell. He said, it's the will of the Father in heaven that one of these little ones should not perish. Not one should perish. And there are those who say, God created some to be destroyed. That's not what His Word says. I'm sorry, I can't go with that one. That's one of those human traditions. That's one of those human teachings. That's one of those lies from hell. I know I'm challenging people's hard-held beliefs. I know. But I got to go with what Jesus said. It's not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. That's what He said. Peter put it another way. He said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, do we preach just repentance? No. But we must preach repentance. It's an aspect of the gospel. In fact, it's the first word. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when He talks about perishing, He's not talking about on earth. He's talking about eternally. There are lots of people that suffer on earth for their faith. There are lots of people who have been killed for their faith on earth. And there are many more, no doubt, that will be. They'll cry out, how much longer? That's what the Scripture says. But you know, nobody can take away everlasting life. That's what Jesus said. What He gives us, no one can take away. They can take away our physical life, but they can't take away the everlasting aspect of our existence, because we will exist with God forever. Those of us who honor Him, those of us who keep our word, those of us who are, in fact, His children, those of us that He says will keep His commandments. As I wrap this up, I want you to remember that most of us here and many who will receive this message by other means are no longer babies in Christ. We're fully grown. Our faith is, let's face it, folks, not everybody here, and not everybody who will hear the message. But there are many of us who are no longer babies, and so let's get out of the diapers, okay? No more mess. No more junk. No more crap. Whatever you want to call it. We need to get that out of our lives, all right? Because our Heavenly Father's calling us to a deeper walk. He's calling us into His presence. When you're in the presence of God, there can be no darkness. It has to be all light, because in Him there is no darkness. We're called out of dirty diapers into His newness. We're called out of those dirty diapers into His cleanness, into His righteousness, which He alone gives. And you know, neither our sin... Remember, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our righteousness, not His. And neither our sin or our righteousness is to soil us anymore. Saying yes doesn't get you into heaven, folks. There are those who say yes to Jesus. Say this little prayer and you're going to be in heaven. No matter what you do the rest of your life. Doesn't get you into heaven. It's evidence that you're on your way, though. If you live by His will, if you live by His word, if you say yes to Jesus, say yes. Set aside any fear of anything in this life. And that's a hard one. That's a big call. But you know what? When you have the Holy Spirit within you, you can walk fearlessly through this life. Say yes by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you. That's the only way I can do what I do, folks. It's the only way. I can't do it any other way. There is no way that yours truly has the capacity in the human sense to do what I do here on a weekly basis and throughout the week as I minister to people, because it's Almighty God that works through me to all of that happening. I can't make that happen. Anybody who knows me knows I'm hardly able to speak properly sometimes. I can't remember worth anything sometimes. But God says, here, and I'm going to use you. And it's as if He's setting aside my flesh and saying, okay, it's going to be all me, not you, John. And I say, okay, use me, Lord. I don't want to be me anymore. I want to be all you. And He's shaved these little tiny things off. And I'm like, well, that was no big deal. To Him it was. You know, what about this little thing? No, got to go. Like a whittler's knife, you know, he's just chopping off these little tiny pieces and bits of things that are no longer necessary. And His Holy Spirit speaks through me. Say yes by warning others. There is a place of everlasting punishment, and we are called to tell them about it. Jesus did. The one we call Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, He told them, He warned them. And what, are we not supposed to do that? What? He said, go out and teach them everything that I taught you. And that's part of what He taught. So now we got people saying, oh no, that's not the way. That's not the way to do it. Because after all, we chase people away whenever we tell them that there's this place of everlasting torment. I don't know. If somebody's in danger, I'm going to tell them. You know, last week, I was in an online dialogue with somebody. I forget who it was now, but I said, it's like you're boating in the Niagara River, right? Okay? And you see people going downstream, and you say, whoa. You're going to go over the falls. No, I'm good. I'm good. Now, if you love them, you try to warn them, right? But if you don't love them, what do? Have a nice day. Don't want to offend you. I don't want to warn you of the danger, Rosalie, because after all, you might get upset with me. I tell you, you're on the river going down toward the falls, and you might say, no, you don't have it right. I know where I'm at. I know what I'm doing. You see people getting dangerously close to those falls. You want to warn them about it, right? You want to tell them, hey, you're in trouble. You got to get out of there, right? Or you just say, I love you, brother. I trust everything will go well for you. Not me. I'm going to tell you, look, you're in trouble. They might hate me for it, but I'm going to tell them. And as they're going over to Falls, he told us. I said, my hands are clean, okay? The blood of those that go over to Falls, that's on them because I told them. If I see them and I know them, I interact with them, I'm going to tell them. Turn around, you're going the wrong way. Repent. That's what that means. Turn. Change your mind. You think you're going the right way. You got to change your mind. Go the other way. That's honoring to our Father because He doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't want any, He says in His Word. None to perish, but all to come to repentance. All to come to righteousness. His righteousness, not our own, because our righteousness is filthy rags. I think about that. I say, okay. That's how I say yes. We've got to say yes to God's Messiah and allow Him to own us. Say yes. Take me. Use me. Own me. Every little bit, okay? No holds barred. No. I got this. I like this part. No. And that's where the struggle comes in. That's where the struggle of our faith comes in, folks, because we're fighting not just the devil. We're not just fighting the world. We're fighting our own flesh. Because our flesh has become corrupted. It was corrupted in the garden. And it continued throughout the centuries to be corrupted further and further and further. That's why our bodies break down. That's why they don't survive the way that God created them to survive. We can say yes. Yes, by maintaining our commitment to learn what He taught. We're called out of those dirty diapers into His newness, as I said. We've been given freely. We've been extended mercy and love and grace, and we need to extend the same to others. You're going over the Falls. You give grace. You give love. You give mercy, but you warn of the danger. You say yes to God's Messiah. We say yes to becoming like Him. We say yes. Not with just our lips, but with our hearts fully yielded. We say yes to being like Christ, truly like Christ. We allow Him to change those dirty diapers and clean us up. Our souls are His. He created them. He bought and paid for them. And so He has the right to clean them up, whether we like it or not. Let Him put a pure white robe of His righteousness upon you because He says they'll be clothed in white robes, the righteousness of Christ. Let Him mark you with the indelible mark of God. Say yes to that. Yes, God, mark me. Mark me. Make me yours so that it's unmistakable to everybody. Don't be one of these closet Christians. Oh, God, I'm praying in my closet. When you step outside, nobody saw me, did they? Say yes to being bold in proclaiming your faith. Say yes to Jesus. Hear what He has to say. And then do it. Pretty simple. That those who love Him will keep His commandments. Allow Him to infuse you like a cup of hot water with a tea bag. He's the tea. Allow Him to fill you so that you can't distinguish the difference between you and Him. And neither can anybody else. Say yes. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We thank You that You can have Your way with us, and we ask that You would. Lord, help us to confess Christ before men, and we know He'll confess us before You. Help us not to be ashamed of Him. Help us not to fear, because it's Your good pleasure to give us Your kingdom. We know that it's not Your will that any should perish. And so, Father, lead us out of temptation and into Your glorious kingdom. Help us, Father. Help us, Lord, to get away from the filth in our lives, whatever it is. Help us to say yes to Jesus, by maintaining our commitment to learn what He taught, that we would keep His commandments. We pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's open our hymnals to number 388, and we will sing this a cappella, number 388. Have thine own way, Lord. Number 388. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing. Number 388.